Good morning, Criswell College. How's everyone doing? Good. Sounds like you're stuffing your face with pizza, so that's a good sign. Welcome to our first Thrive Chapel of the fall 2025 semester. My name is Lance Ouellette. I'm Vice President of Advancement, and it is my privilege to be able to host the Thrive Chapels. We only have, this year, we're changing formats, trying to make life a little bit easier for all of you students. We know that you have very busy lives between all of your homework, academic work, and ministry opportunities that you guys serve in, and then some of you also have jobs on top of that, and a few of you actually have interests and a life that includes your friends here, but also friends outside of here. So we want to make sure we give you the flexibility. Chapels are very important, we think, for your academic and spiritual development here at Criswell. But we know that we can overburden ourselves. And so we want to give you all some margin to have some quality personal time. So this year we're only having one Thrive a month, four per semester. And so this is the first one. And my guest today is going to be Dr. Woods. We're going to start this with a continuing conversation from yesterday because from my opinion, I know it's not worth much, so don't take too much into it. It was a really good chapel service, and it was a great message, but we were talking. He says, man, I really wanted to leave some room for some engagement with students, to have questions to answer. Some students were able to come to him afterwards, but he has, you know, only 24 hours a day, so he can't answer all the questions in his office hours. So he has graciously decided to say, yeah, he'll come up and be available for some questions regarding his presentation yesterday on 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 21, and specifically what he was talking about, what it means to be an ambassador, and that we're on his mission and not ours. And so we're going to talk about that in October. We have a really special guest, Mr. Richardson, Larry Richardson. He is a restaurateur. He owns Rodeo Goat, and I know that one because I love their burgers. He owns like half a dozen different restaurants throughout the Southeast. And so he's going to come and talk a little bit about what it means about faithfulness and how that applies to professionalism. So that's in October. November, we have a really special guest, Dr. Vincent Baycote from Wheaton College up in Illinois. And the Wednesday night prior to that, we're hosting, the Christian Ministry Program is hosting a symposium on Black Plus Evangelical, the documentary that Professor Dr. Baycote created. And so he'll be here to host that. We'll have dinner, a documentary, and a discussion. We're co-hosting this with Foster College. And so Dr. Ford and Dr. Fuller and also our own Dr. Woods will be on the panel, and we're hopefully tying down our fourth panelist. That'll be a really neat a neat voice into that conversation. So that'll be, the symposium is Wednesday night, the 12th. Again, dinner will be provided if you register. And then the 13th, we'll have our Thrive Chapel. Well, without further ado, I'm going to bless your sanctified pizza and just pray that everyone's bellies and lactose intolerance doesn't impact them today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day, a day of opportunity to know you and to experience the reality of you knowing us. Thank you for gifting us with opportunities to be here at Criswell College to serve and love one another and to grow, and even, might I say, to thrive in the calling that you have made for each one of us. Pray, Lord, that you would guide Dr. Woods and my conversation and questions. Just allow this a time for us to grow not only in our intellect and in our thinking, in the developing of our transformation of our mind, but also in our hearts and our very will. Thank you for our students. I pray, Lord, a blessing upon them as they start off this semester. Help give them peace of mind, but also help them have a spirit of diligence and to do their absolute best, not to build up a name for themselves, not to compete against others in their classes or in their grades, but, Lord, just as a simple act of worship, of being grateful for the gifts that you've given them and being a good steward of the time and the energy that you have given them. We praise you. Pray, Lord, that we would know your Son more intimately even today. And I pray these things in his name and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Dr. Woods, you want to come up? So I wanted to start off here. Dr. Woods and I are kindred spirits in numerous ways, but one of them is that we do appreciate a Christian liberal arts education. It's part of the reason why we're here, wouldn't you say?
Amen. Yeah.
There are lots of other Christian institutions of higher education, but from our experience, there aren't too many that really take a Christian liberal arts perspective. And so part of what it means to be focused on liberal arts, and especially from a classical liberal arts perspective, mm-hmm. whether it's secular or Christian, is that we actually think about and the words that we use and what they mean. So to really know something means that you understand that letters are formed and they actually have a meaning.
Yes.
So even in the context of Michael Jackson's Bad, at the time, of course, he meant bad to say meant that it was a good thing in mm-hmm. In the culture, right? But everyone knew that's what he was saying, right? And so even when you try, when the secular world tries to turn words and terms upside down and mean the opposite of what it means, because we know that does happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scriptures tell us,
yeah,
they're going to say good is bad and bad is good.
Mm-hmm.
We're not shocked by that. So for right now, just to introduce Thrive to the new students that are here, I figured I would go to what I believe is probably one of the best dictionaries that we have for the American English language, and that is Noah Webster's 1828. You can it's still in print through I think Face Publications. You can get them. I highly commend every one of you to make the investment of the $30 or $40 that it is. It was published in 1828, so when you go to try to find a word like internet, it ain't going to be there, right? But for so many words, and because what Noah Webster did with the dictionary, that's my little plug for him. He did a great service to the body of Christ and to American culture, was that he went to Scripture and was finding out these meanings of these terms according to what the Bible was saying that these terms meant. And so Thrive actually does appear here. And in the beginning, let me just rewind this. If you want to get the digital version of this presentation, snap the QR code. I'll put this back up at the end as well. But if you want to follow along because you have eyes like I do and you can't read very far away, then snap that QR code. 3, 2, 1. Okay, so Thrive, can you read all that from way back there?
Absolutely not. I was really impressed. I said, is Lance about to read those black words?
Yeah, and I even highlighted the ones that are most important, right? But Thrive does mean to grow at its most fundamental meaning here. One of the things that I love about the Noah's Webster's dictionary is he'll often use the term in sentences from classic literature. So here's a quote from Watts, just talking about diligence and humility, being the way that you develop and actually grow and thrive in life. And I thought that was particularly mm-hmm. pertinent to us here. That's one of the reasons why we have Thrive Chapel. That was part of the heart that Dr. Creamer and I had when we said, yeah, let's offer this for our students because we want you to grow. But we realize that you take a plant, and it looks like the plant isn't really doing anything, right? The sun just comes out, it rains, it gets water. But the truth of the matter is that plant or animal, whatever is growing, is exerting a lot of calories, a lot of energy to go through and do what it's going to do, right, to grow up to be a big, tall tree or whatever. And that's the same thing true here, right? Yes, you can come to chapel, check off for your attendance, but that doesn't mean you're going to thrive. The thriving comes when you diligently put yourself to work and make that choice of saying, you know what, I'm going to push through the 3 inches or 6 inches of dirt that's ahead of me so that I can get to the sunlight, so that I can grow. A couple other, all these definitions are pretty closely aligned with each other. It's this last one here that I thought was really pertinent for our conversation in telling you what we mean by thrive. To grow, to advance, to increase or advance in anything valuable. We think that we offer something very valuable here, right? Knowing Christ, knowing the scriptures that reveal Christ, and learning the academic and ministry skills that you need to be able to share Christ and to live him out. So that's the definition of thrive, and what we want to help you accomplish at these chapels, right, is for you to grow and to help give you context to be able to grow with diligence. But right now, let's back up a little bit and talk about yesterday. I know you had a couple students come to you with questions. I know even a couple of professors.
Yeah.
And saying, boy, yeah, especially when you started off with your story about your convention, your speech, and how you kind of called people out. But then, you know, so there are some people that said, oh, we thought you were going to go one direction.
Right, right.
But, you know, within 5-10 minutes of that, then you also bring up another example in which the Holy Spirit was really telling you, you know what, you know, bite your tongue on this one.
Yeah, yeah.
So how, you know, what do you think out of the passage that you preach in 2 Corinthians 5,
yeah.
Where is there anything there to help us discern, like, when should we be bold, I guess, for lack of expression, and when should we be humble? Because, and even in your boldness, as you said, like, there's humility in that, right?
Yes. So, first of all, thank you. There's a book written, and some of the ideas that I was trying to express was from a book by William Edgar, and it's dealing with reclaiming the art of Christian persuasion. The title of the book is The Reasons for the Heart. And part of what I've discovered in my own life, as well as in the lives of many individuals who talk about evangelism and apologetics, sometimes we leave the pneumatological, or the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the pneumatological aspect out of the conversation. So what does it look like to have the spirituality of the word in conversation with how I'm engaging someone's, you know, story? That's the best way to look at it. If I'm engaging their story and the Holy Spirit is giving me a sense that I need to speak into this situation, that I need to be confrontational. Let's look at Galatians 2, 11 through 15, for example, when Paul is confronting Peter. The Holy Spirit was very clear. Paul, you need to speak boldly to this situation because there's a greater issue at stake, which is ethnocentrism, and you need to speak into this with the gospel because he's distorting the gospel with this movement. There are times where the Spirit is like, speak boldly. And then there are other times where the Spirit's like, you know, as I stated, remain silent. Back off, because in both situations, you want to win the person, but winning the person is always based upon the work of the Holy Spirit. He's always the one who's winning the person. We're trying to posture ourselves in such a way that with humility and reverence, we have greater opportunities to continue the dialogue. And from that, I would argue from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, when we start talking about defending the faith, what does it look like to do it with humility and reverence when you're given a reason for your hope, which is reclaiming the art of Christian persuasion?
What I'm about to say, it is, I hope that everyone takes this, and I know Dr. Woods will take this, that I really am attempting to give glory to Christ and to worship his goodness and his grace in this. But my hope for each of you is that after your 4 years and as the Lord is working through your life, that you will have a command of Scripture as Dr. Woods just demonstrated, right? 20 years ago, he didn't have...
Amen.
Right, the Word of God planted in his heart.
That's right.
But I want you to realize that the Word of God isn't just... It is a two-edged sword, but it's not to be used as a weapon against other people.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he preached that yesterday. But the other part of it is that we can use... It's there for us to use daily, not just on Sundays. Not just in preparation for Sunday school or a theology class. Mm-hmm. But the Word of God is very, very practical.
Yes.
In our day-to-day life.
Amen.
And even discerning the situations of, because, I mean, I think the framework that you gave us yesterday was, okay, is this about Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected? Is it about the gospel?
Right.
Or is this about me winning an argument?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right? Or me with my pet, whatever that pet theology, doctrine, whatever that is, right?
Right.
To be able to use it to prove everyone else wrong and me right.
That's right. That's right.
So anyway, that's just an encouragement for y'all that, yes, it takes diligence, perseverance, daily work in the Word of God and in the community of believers of the church, but the fruit does come, mm-hmm. right? And we know people by their fruit. There are lots of people that get up on a pulpit or take the mantle of leadership, but the fruit in their lives is not gospel-centric at all, mm-hmm. right? It's all mm-hmm. about them. Mm-hmm. So that's just a little sidebar here of encouragement that says, you know, men like myself and Dr. Woods, you know, we were in our 20s and 30s,
yeah.
40s for me, even before I went to get a really good biblical theological education. Mm-hmm. But if old guys like us can do it, young, fresh brains like yours definitely can. I did want to open up for questions or anything from anyone else, because that's part of what we want to provide the opportunity here for. Anyone that was here yesterday for Dr. Wood's presentation, did you have a question, or is there anything of clarification or of interest that you wanted to ask him now? I kind of put you on the spot here. We're also going to have Q&A at the end. So as you're thinking about yesterday's message, please don't hesitate. Did you have anything else that you wanted to kind of share on, because I know you really cut down about an hour and a half mm-hmm. conversation down to about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So what else did you pull out of 2 Corinthians 5 that you felt, gee, the Holy Spirit really wants me to share this with our students?
Well, you know, I talk a lot about what it means to be an image bearer. And there was a passage, obviously, I think it was verse 18. Let me look real quick. And I said something, and I didn't want it to seem like I was being trite concerning this verse. But when the scriptures read here, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Then you see the colon giving us explanation of what this verse actually means. So he's going to explain it. And he says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. The main reason why I said that the message is greater than the messenger is because when we are intimidated because of criticism, we will begin to distort the message in order to, quote unquote, scare quotes, win friends. That's not what it means to be a faithful ambassador of the gospel. I want to befriend whoever the Lord would allow me to befriend. But that friendship does not mean I compromise the gospel, I compromise truth in order for them to feel comfortable. That is not friendship. You are being, according to Colossians, an enemy of the cross of Christ at that moment, yeah. right? But then we also see in Philippians that Paul says that even with his tears, he was thinking about individuals who were being heretical. He says, in my tears, they are glorifying in their shame. Yeah. So there was still sorrow, but that did not change his approach. He still was going to speak the truth, or true the truth in love, as it says in Ephesians 4, that we're truthing the truth in love, because love is truthful. It's not more concerned about the person to such an extent that you distort the message. So I really hope that I was communicating that well, that the triune God is saving sinners. He's using us as his conduit in order to save sinners, but he requires us to say what he says, to be honorable.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, especially in Corinthians, you could do a great case studies have been done on just the art of communication, the art of persuasion, and it's a great point, I think, that Paul is making here that recognizes that we learn most from those that we love most, mm-hmm. right? And so there's an importance in your communication and you being an ambassador to build sincere opportunities for friendship and for meaningful relationship with others, that don't look like you, don't sound like you, don't live in the same place as you, right? And so that is important, but it's not for the sake of being Mr. or Miss Popular.
Right.
Right, or having the most friends in whatever social platform you have, how many hits you get, right? Mm-hmm. So it is important. He recognizes it's important, but that's not the main thing.
No,
it's just a recognition of saying, you know what? We learn from those that we love and respect, and so I am doing everything I can to show you that I'm trustworthy and respectable.
Right.
But don't like me because I'm popular.
Right.
Like me because of what the hope of the gospel offers you. Right. And so that's a good word, I think, for all of us, especially in our roles as ambassadors and as cultivators, you know, that we don't put the fear of man ahead of us, but at the same time, we also don't have to be intentionally jerky.
Right.
Right. And there are plenty in our circles that are, right? They're very smart. They've got a lot of degrees and accolades to back up their intelligence and all the wisdom that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But they end up defaming the name of Christ because of their arrogance in the way that they treat people, right?
Yeah.
So it's, and Paul, I think, does a great job of saying, man, I want to earn your respect. I think I've done that, you know?
Exactly.
If you want to see someone that suffered, I can name it.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to see people that have all these spiritual gifts, I got those too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what this is about.
Right.
It's about the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Did anyone have a question? Okay. But if you do, because I know yesterday there were a couple little heavy points that you brought up that I know can bring up. Just even, you know, he and I were talking afterwards, even just to bringing up the reality of hell being the destination for humans.
Yeah.
If it's not for the grace of God through Christ Jesus, right?
Right.
And many of us, he and I were talking in the last probably 20, 30 years, in most of our congregations, we probably don't hear too much about hell, right? I mean, it's a hard subject to talk about. And you have the extremes. You have the absolute absence of talking about it, and then you have the...
Yes, exactly.
You looked at me wrong. You going to hell, you know, or you got the pet sin that I think is really, really bad. That's unforgivable.
Right.
Off with your head. And there you go.
Mm-hmm.
What we do have to realize is that the subject, you know, the topic that Jesus does bring up most, if I remember correctly from my New Testament, is hell. And the second thing is money,
yeah.
You know? So again, while Jesus being God manifested, he brought in the realities of our material problems, which is sin, right? And that pride and money can influence a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to shift gears a little bit to talk a little bit about Thrive and really about something that we're offering y'all as part of your Crystal 360. So in order to get there, we're starting with this tool that Dr. Woods shared with me. From a book, and you can see this deal, but it's called The Golden Circle. And so in the inner, you know, what we're talking about here is, and they use Martin Luther King Jr. In his speech. You can see the diagram at the bottom. The quote there, if I remember correctly, is, you know, Martin Luther King started, "I have a dream," right? The famous speech that he gave,
right.
Sermon that he gave on the lawn. He didn't start off with,
"I have a plan."
I have a plan, right? He started with, "I have a dream." And so similarly for us here at Criswell College, there are plans and there's all, you know, we can go through your academic catalog and we can go through what classes you need to take in order to get your degree. But at the root of who we are here at Criswell College, it is our mission statement, the why, right? And for each and every one of us, we need to figure out what our why is. We do all have whys, but if we don't think about it, at the end, what Jesus' words tell us is that we'll go through the broad gate. We're just kind of making life and letting life kind of ping-pong us through, and we end up at the end of it, we turn around on our deathbed, and we say, "Why did I exist?"
Mm.
Like, what is there in life? We could be like Solomon, right? And so we don't want that. Like, we believe that God did have a purpose for every single one of you. You bear the image of God. And he doesn't waste his image.
Mm-hmm.
Not on a single human being, right? in my view, not even those that don't make it out of the womb. Like, everyone is valuable in his sight and has a purpose and a meaning, a redemptive meaning. And so for us, we start off, you start in these concentric circles, you start off with your why and then your how, and then you go to your what. For a lot of us, you know, it's like, well, what am I going to do to be successful? Mm-hmm. And you just start coming up with your plan. But, like, what is success? Like, let's start defining our terms here first,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise we can spend a lifetime doing a lot of stuff that is not the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Criswell's why is our mission statement. And really appreciate, you know, how Dr. Woods has tied in his preaching yesterday to our mission statement. Real quickly here, you know, we keep repeating this to you because we hope that your life is aligned. There's a part of your life that's aligned with our mission. Because you're going to read in our statement here of why that's important to us. So the mission of Criswell College is to provide ministerial and professional higher education for men and women preparing to serve as Christ leaders throughout society while maintaining an institutional commitment to biblical inerrancy. So, and in that we have four values that are baked into that mission statement. One is academic engagement, right? We're an institution of higher education.
Mm-hmm.
We provide service experience. We believe that we're not just here to teach you stuff out of books, but we actually want you to experience ministry servanthood.
That's right.
Right? And so, I mean, you go through every year of your program here at Criswell, and there are service experience baked into your courses, whether it's in Chris, you know, 202, 203, and 201. And so that's a big part of the why, because we believe that service experience is important to your development. Also, cultural influence. And last but not least, of course, is the doctrinal integrity of Scripture. Our why, it does come down to, you know, is what I highlighted here. This is at the core of it. Christ is at the core of it. Like, we want to glorify Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we want to go about doing that is that you are the apple of our eye. Like, you are the thing that we are investing in to accomplish our mission. Like, everything that we do as staff and faculty, it does center around equipping you. And because you are dearly loved by God.
Mm-hmm.
And we are convinced he has a purpose for you. You might not know what that purpose is. It might take you some time for you to even be convinced that you've got a purpose. But I'll tell you, this institution, every employee here believes that God has a special call on every single one of you.
Mm-hmm.
And we hold that as a high stewardship. And we are responsible for fulfilling our mission for you. And we do that by providing... Oh, I just didn't want to do that. I think I just turned off my presentation. Mm-hmm. Can you save me? Thank you. Rob is the man. Appreciate you. And so... Then we get to the why is our mission, the how. We do it through the Criswell 360. And what is the Criswell 360? It's our common student experience. In a sentence, it's a sequence of classroom and campus activities that is both challenging and supportive, crafted to ensure that every student, every single one of you, is able to develop within themselves the core values of the college. And how is that manifested? Well, it's the coin was termed yesterday, right? The ACPPP.
That's right.
Being ambassadors, cultivators, peacemakers, professionals, and problem solvers. And so that's the how we go about doing that. For you, practically, what does that mean for you? Like, what do you do? Well, you go to classes, you work diligently, you come to chapels, you go to the students' service opportunities, you get to network with each other. You go to the symposiums and seminars and conferences that we host. You are involved with ministry. There's a lot of things that you do. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the culmination of all that you do is your e-portfolio. This isn't a term I want to share with, I want Dr. Woods to kind of take over from here.
Okay.
Is something that you know, when we're talking about rolling out the ePortfolio because it's part of the Crystal 360. And I put the quote up here. It's like you told me, it's like the way that I view it is this is a gift that students give their future selves.
That's right.
And so unpack that for me for a bit.
So the beauty about Old Testament literature, especially you start looking at narrative literature, is what? It's stories. That's what we enjoy. You all like a good story, right? I like a good story. One of the reasons why walking up on the stage yesterday was so impactful is because I was listening to A Tribe Called Quest before I preached the sermon. For me, that reminded me of multiple stories. It reminded me of stories from high school, especially with my basketball team and Colleen Ellison, getting with five of those players who I had not seen in 34 years. 2 months ago, we all met in right outside of Denton because someone was from Texas Tech and he was teaching a course at UNT. So we all just gathered together after like 33, 34 years. And when I listened to that song brought up stories. So when we start to talk about the ePortfolio, if you would see yourself giving yourself a gift, in other words, your freshman self, your first year student is giving a gift to the graduating senior saying, I was preparing this for you so that you could become gainfully employed. And your freshman self right now is working to say to your graduation self, your senior year, after you've completed, here's the gift that you need to find a job. That's what the ePortfolio is about. It's about telling your story. So all of the artifacts that go into your portfolio is your story that you want to tell to an employer so that you can become gainfully employed. The reality is, if you can't find a job, you can't send back money. Amen. That was a joke, team. Come on. I mean, goodness.
Not for me.
But the reality is, we want you to be gainfully employed so that you can engage the culture, as well as if you got a couple of $5 or something, you want to send some back to the alumni department. Hey, we'll take it. But all of that processing starts right now, your first semester until your last semester, thinking about what artifacts do I need to tell my story so that I can become the best employee possible for this organization. So that's how we think about the ePortfolio. You are writing your own story. Now, people who are close to me, they know I love Marvel. My wife is in the D.C., hence the reason why I'm a little bit tired tonight because we went to a late night Fantastic Four. Anybody see? Y'all have seen the fan. Yeah, amen. You know what's amazing? I wasn't prepared for it to be authentic. Were you prepared for it to be authentic? I mean, seriously, talk to me. Do you know what I mean when I say it's authentic? Somebody talk to me. I want to hear a voice.
I'm pretty sure it was really, really based on the comics with like the style of like everything they did, right?
I love you, man. Exactly. So when I saw that, I said, this is going to be a pretty good Fantastic Four because it went to the original storyboarding of the Fantastic Four, right? And it was like in the 60s, a 60s setting. All of that stuff was like amazing to me. Why? Because it was storyboarding. You are doing storyboarding with that ePortfolio. And it can be fun when you realize that the destination of your portfolio is to get you a job. Amen? So that's how I think about it.
And Dr. Brown was generous enough to share us an example because within the BS education program, for those of you that are in the education program, probably already know, but she has already been very active with the people in her program developing an ePortfolio. So here's an example of a recent alumna. She just graduated this past year. And you know, so what an ePortfolio is, it's your own personal web page, right? We use Google Slides, but you can use WordPress. I mean, there are plenty of others, but Google Slides is a pretty easy tool for you to use. And you can see here what Mala did. You know, at the very beginning, she just a little bit about her story, right? And I don't know if I can get to the link here because I don't have a cursor to hit up.
I see. Mm-hmm.
But there's a link at the top here. You'll be able to click it on the portfolio. But she has in there, because for teaching, right, you have all these tests for arts and sciences and math and history. And so Dr. Brown had her do, you know, all this work for all her classes, right, for all these subjects in order to pass these tests. And Mala included all of those projects and papers on her e-portfolio so that a prospective employer can look at that and see the quality of work that she has done. You know, that this isn't just a person that's just trying to get, you know, an easy, a lot of our districts of school, like, they are desperate for teachers, right? Are you breathing? Come on and teach. But no, if you have a crystal education, you're not just breathing. Like, you are producing artifacts and skills that are demanded by schools that will say, ooh, I need a lead teacher, and that's another $5,000 or $10,000 a year to your pocket, right? I mean, that's a real tangible difference. Mm-hmm. You did all this hard work here at Criswell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you this, I experienced this. I've got 10 kids. Two of them have just recently graduated college. They're going on to graduate school. They both had 3.89s. And so they're, you know, master cum laude. And they couldn't find a job.
Right.
They're having a hard time getting into graduate level programs. So just because you have good grades doesn't mean that you're a shoo-in for a job today, right? So how can you differentiate yourself? Mm-hmm. Through the e-portfolio. And this is a gift. If you're going to do the hard work as an act of worship to God, then, man, record it. Use it as an artifact and include it here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is a gift to you, as Dr. Woods has said, but I think it's also a gift to those that you're going to serve in the future. Right? Because all the work that you're doing here can be bear fruit, not just in your own intellect and your own heart, but the work that Mala did, for example, on coming up with, you know, different assignments and how projects that we're going to do and make things interesting and fun for her students. Like, by going through that exercise and now recording it, now it's the school has an expectation. Okay, like, you're going to do this. You're not going to just slack off and take your paycheck, right? It's a gift that she is also giving those that God is going to bless her with in the future in a stewardship role,
yes,
right, of teaching. And that's just as true if you're a PPE student and you're going to end up going to pursue pre-law or an MBA, right? That you can, you're given assignments. It's what this next little hint here is, helpful pointer, is that most of your professors, when they're coming up with their coursework, it's not busy work. It's to demonstrate that you understand the material, that you have mastery of it. But oftentimes it's to provide you tools that you can use in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you're going to be a teacher or a pastor or doing biblical counseling, like, there are assignments that you're doing in your psychology courses, that you're doing in your Bible and theology courses, that you do the research and you do the work, and you could have a book of it down the road. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I know Dr. Woods himself is in that situation right now. He spent, at least 3-4 years writing your dissertation, mm-hmm. your PhD, mm-hmm. and now he's having an opportunity to transform that into a book that's going to be a much broader audience than just...
Four people.
just academics,
yeah.
Right? Now it's an opportunity to get out to the popular press and to congregants throughout the world mm-hmm. On a very important subject. So again, you never know what your course subject, it might seem very basic now, but you don't know what God will do to spark an interest for you down the road.
Good.
And for right now, the other thing, you know, we provided you, did everyone receive the email from our office on saving the e-portfolio folder to your own personal OneDrive? And could you raise your hand if you've actually done it yet? That's what I thought. So... make me feel good about myself, because that's what's most important in life, right? Don't worry about the gospel and all that. No. For your own good, please.
When was this done?
Last week. Yeah. And it'll come from me, Lance Willette. And so if you don't have it, please come to my office, because that was sent to all students and faculty and staff, for that matter. So down, you know, look, we have instructions here for you to just to drag and drop that folder into your own Criswell OneDrive. And that is a resource that the school has paid for you. So you have access to Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and the OneDrive. That, for a lot of people, you're going to spend $199 a year for that, right? So take advantage of that resource and do it now. And then at the end, we have instructions on how you can transfer that OneDrive, all that information, to your own personal drives when you graduate. That way you just take all that work that you did here with you. That's your work. Don't throw it away. Like I was talking to Dr. Spring yesterday, and you know, she has an assignment for Comm 101 where you're writing a diary, a journal. And there are some students that like deleted their first journal and then they just wrote a second journal entry. And it's like, no. If you're doing the work, first do it to the best of your ability, and then it's worthy to keep. Don't trash it. And me, I've got a chest in my attic with all my papers from college. Mm. I'll probably never read those. And it's taking up space. But in the cloud, like, it's not costing you space. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't take paper, box. We're not cutting down trees or any of that stuff. So just save it. But you can drop those in your e-portfolio folders, because all the stuff that you're putting in your e-portfolio folder, you don't have to publish. It's just a repository of folders.
Yes.
Right? And so down the road, I mean, I promise you, I've been in the car business. I've owned car dealerships. I've been an investment advisor. I've been involved with a dozen at least different public companies in all kinds of industries. I promise you, your life will probably be similarly erratic. Mm. You don't know what you're doing today. You think, oh, I'll never use that before. Don't believe that.
Mm. Yeah,
right?
Amen.
So that the things that you're learning, even when you're doing a study on 2 Corinthians, mm-hmm. you know, you tie in the message that Dr. Woods gave, and you have a deeper understanding of that message that can transform your life. Mm-hmm. What else on the e-portfolio from the academic affairs perspective? You know, because I brought up that most of your professors are trying to give you assignments that you can record and put in there. Is there anything else that you want to share from academic affairs of the value of what you should be storing and what you can put in your e-portfolio?
Sure, thanks. So I would say this, see your professors as shepherds. Now, and I paused before I said shepherds, because you realize that a shepherd carries two instruments. Is that right? What are those instruments that a shepherd carries? A staff and a rod. So if you see your professor as a shepherd, you realize that the staff is designed for a shepherd to do what? Someone answer. To? So if a sheep, it brings the sheep back in, right? And so what is the rod designed for? Yes, sir.
Break the legs.
Wow. And so why would a shepherd break a leg? Man, why? That just seems so cruel. No, actually, it's an act of mercy towards that sheep, right? And they are smart enough to do it in such a way that it does not actually cause the sheep to be constantly impaired or paralyzed. Is that correct? So my point is, if you see your shepherds like, if you see your professors like shepherds, you realize there will be times where we will take out a rod. But it is not to paralyze you. It is to immobilize you from foolishness. And that means that if you see your professors as shepherds, ask them for assistance. Which assignment on your syllabus do you think would be beneficial for my portfolio? Then they may say, you know what? What do you ultimately want to do long term? Once you give them that long term vision, then they can help you with the how. Here's what you put in place. I want you to be at a point where you are not intimidated by your professors. They're shepherds. Do not be intimidated by another human being. Every one of your professors, we all are nothing more than decorated dust. Don't be intimidated by a human being. The fear of man is a snare. So if you are intimidated by a professor, that is a snare in your life. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear the Lord. Don't fear man. Don't fear a professor. There is a sense, remember this, you pay us to educate you. I work for you, and so do all of my colleagues. But working for you means we're going to pull out a staff and we're going to pull out a rod. Does that make sense? So there will be times, because working for you doesn't mean that I'm going to do what you say. Working for you means that you're going to do what I say in the syllabus, or you're going to experience the rod. Does that make sense? So all I'm saying is your e-portfolio is you in dialogue with your academic shepherd who wants to help you make it to your destination. But always remember that illustration of the shepherd, because every professor doesn't want you necessarily to fear them, because the fear of man is a snare, but we want you to fear the Lord and take your academics seriously. Because you, as we all will tell you, we do not give grades. Drop that from your vocabulary. Never say, he or she gave me a, no. We record grades. Every grade you receive is recorded. Does that make sense? In other words, if I record an A, I didn't give you an A, you earned it. If I record an F, I didn't give you an F, you earned it. And so that concept will say, you know what? I no longer fear man, because fear of man is a snare. I will not fear a human being, because like me, they're nothing more than dust from the ground. And when God pulls away his breath, they become dust again. So I am going to approach them with reverence and respect, and yet I'm going to help them help me. Does that make sense, my friends? It will enliven your academic experience. Because once I came to that conclusion as a student, I was able to excel. But as long as I fear professors, I notice my grades, they continue to atrophy or to die down, you know? Yeah.
No matter how good of a student you are, like, your purpose isn't here to impress your professors.
No.
Right? It's for you to be equipped. Right? To do ministry and to fulfill the professional requirements of whatever your calling are, right? So it is about you. And so I please take that e-portfolio folder and all those resources, save them into your OneDrive, open up that folder and review. There are a lot of really good resources in there that we can use. For example, in some of the things you look in there, it's like, well, why is the mission statement in there? Why is a graduate profile in there? Because we have put a lot of prayer and thought and effort into what we mean by what it means to be an ambassador. And we think there's value in being an ambassador for Christ, right? And that's why we want you, when you graduate, to exemplify what it is to be an ambassador. But guess what? That ministry opportunity that you're looking to serve in, that employer that you're looking to serve in, if you have these values and if they have the values, then you guys become a really good match for vocation, right? And I know, because I've had a lot of opportunities to take on a job, and I found out, well, what are your values? And they tell me what their values are, and they have nothing to do with what my life is, what I want my life to be about. I'm like, this ain't a good fit. I've been in too many situations in which investors and management and the supply chain are not aligned. You want alignment in your life with, mm-hmm, what is God's mission for me. Mm-hmm. And so guess what? They're not going to know what your values are outside of an interview or your e-portfolio. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of you, it's your e-portfolio that will get you that interview. So please save that information and review that information. you can copy and paste our definitions and our terminology and use that. You hear us using, you know, the AC triple P in every chapel. Like, there's a reason for that. And we hope that some of it just starts coming into your consciousness and your subconsciousness, to where it's like, yeah, like, these are important values. These are important concepts and terms for me to have my heart engaged with. And there are ministries and employers out there that value those kinds of things. And so it makes it really easy when you got a 4.0 and that other person has a 4.0 and they're able to look at your e-portfolio and say, oh, this person is singing out of the same hymn book as me. Like, mm-hmm. I can connect with this person. I want them on my team. Mm-hmm. Compared to that other person that doesn't have a resource up there like that. I promise you it's a lot easier for you to start developing this as you're going through your college experience. You write that amazing paper, you get an A, the graders put it on there, man, you need to think about having this article published. Like, ooh, that might be something I want to include in my e-portfolio. You put it in your folder right then. Because I promise you, when you are a senior and your workload is just as much as it is right now as a coming in freshman, or even worse sometimes, mm-hmm. like, you don't have the bandwidth. I'll make my resume, I'll do my e-portfolio down the road. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you've graduated.
Right.
And you're looking for a job. And then you start applying and say, well, yeah, we've already filled that position. Because all those people that graduated that had their stuff together back in November, we've been interviewing. Mm-hmm. you know, they had a job before they graduated. So for you, I want you to be that person, right? So copy that information and start putting in your assignments as you go through your classes. Just start filling that in. You go to Israel, and there are pictures that get taken with you and memorable things of what you're doing with working with Palestinian children or whatever. Man, get those images and drop them in your e-portfolio folders. You know, there's a folder in there for media, pictures, and stuff like that that you can use to personalize your website. And that way you have a lot of different pictures that you can make fresh. Because you'll find yourself, I've got several graduates from this past year, I can think of two of them off the top of my head, that they're looking for a job. But right now they're looking for anything. They want a psychology, but they're willing to go into education. They're looking at all kinds of stuff. And so I've helped guide them, saying, well, you really need like three different resumes, right? But if you have all these resources already saved in your e-portfolio folders, it's really easy to do that. You don't have to create it just out of nothingness, right? Mm-hmm. It's already there. You've saved it over the last 4 years. I did want to share some other career service resources. One, for those that don't have a resume, I strongly suggest you start building your resume. We are having a workshop on that on September the 15th, if I can read that far away. And then we're also doing interview skills in October, the end of October. So these are workshops that are hosted in the admissions suite, which is down by the president's office on the first floor. And we typically will have those from like 11 to 12. And then we're also having a creating your e-portfolio workshop in November. So just if you're interested in that, you'll just email Cecia. I've got her information right here. And then we're also going to be, for those of you that are graduating undergraduate, going to graduate school, we're also going to be doing a workshop for graduate school entrance survey writing. Because writing an essay for going into graduate school is a lot different kind of essay than just writing an essay for Comm 101 or even for one of your senior level theology classes. If you have any questions regarding career services, Cecia Juarez is the person you want to contact. That's her email and her phone number. And I will put it back here. Q&A, we've only got 4 minutes left. For those of you that have classes, you need to get going. For those that don't, Dr. Woods has about 15 minutes that he could probably answer any questions that you have. Anything about ePortfolio? Has everyone been able to look at their email and say, yes, I received the email, I see the instructions, and I'll be able to do that this week? If you have not received the email, come see me. Okay?
All right.
Anything else? Dr. Woods, could you close us in prayer?
Yes. Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word, God, and you said that people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Our responsibility as vice presidents, as educators, Lord, is to provide the information that can lead towards transformation before every student's graduation. That is our desire, to provide the information leading to transformation. Father, I pray that you would strengthen my brothers and sisters in Christ here today. I pray that you would give greater encouragement, and I pray, Lord, that they will take this gift of the EAT portfolio seriously, and that they would build that gift for their graduating self. Lord, you can use it, because oftentimes our gifts do make room for us. And that's not talking about spiritual gifts in wisdom literature. It is talking about bringing a gift to a person in authority. And interviewers are in authority. And that gift that they bring could cause that interviewer to see them as a potential hire. And so, Lord, I pray that they would think theologically about the e-portfolio, and I pray that they would think Christianly about why they are pursuing whatever degree they're pursuing. We thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. All right.
Everyone have a blessed remainder of the week, long weekend for you. Enjoy your Labor Day break, and I admonish you to read and keep up with your studies, though. Have a blessed weekend.